And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, the disguised Obi-Wan accompanies Cad Bane and Morala Evol to Sereno, where they enlist in a brutal competition with other bounty hunters from around the galaxy to determine who will participate in a plot to kidnap the Chancellor Palpatine. There will be a visit to Aperture Science! Obi-Wan saving everybody, Cad Bane's shocking turn of events, and Morala Evol really just needs to stop talking in third person. We're talking about the box this week. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I got a pork.
I heard.
He was a free pork.
I saw a picture of it. He looks like an angry pork, or a grumpy pork, kind of.
He's sitting in my lap right now, where my cat usually is. But yeah,
so your cats hate the porg, right?
You know, I tried to introduce my cat to the porg and she just kind of ignored it. She was like, but you could pet me, why aren't you petting me? But the thing is like my coworker got me a shirt and it didn't fit right, so I went back to ThinkGeek and they didn't have the shirt in my size and there was no other shirts that were like, you know, that caught my eye. And then I look over and I see a foot tall porg that's the exact same price. And I was just like, you're coming home with me. So it's a foot tall porg. And I was trying to figure out names for it. Like I at first I thought like George the Porg. And then I thought Gunther. And then I was like, well, I did say if I ever got a porg, I would name it Porg Kloon after Plo Kloon. But that didn't really feel right either. And so then I thought Obi Porg Kenobi and I couldn't really think of any. So I asked my friend Angel and she was like, what about Porgy One? And I was like, I like it. So his name is Porgy One.
You got to get another one to be its mate and name it Bess. So you have Porgy One and Bess.
Oh, well, it was a play on Obi-Wan, but I do like Porgy and Bess, too. That's a really good reference.
Well, then it's all mixed together.
Yeah, I do like that. I do like that. It's a teen Bess or something. But the other cool thing I did is I finally got from a certain point of view, which was the we talked about it a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the book from like different points of view around the New Hope, and it's like 40 stories around a New Hope. Oh man, it is so good.
So you started reading it?
Yeah, I'm about 5 stories into it, and about 5 stories in, what I've gathered is it's a retelling of a New Hope, but from the point of view of the background characters.
Right.
And there was 2 that so far that's really stood out to me. One is about a stormtrooper, and he's the stormtrooper that stuns Leia in the beginning of the movie. And he was talking, he was like, you know, Leia's not much younger than me. I'm only a couple years older than her. And some of my friends, like, really felt for the rebellion, but I'm a hardcore Imperial and stuff like that. And then in the confrontation with Leia, where she picks up a blaster and shoots them, shoots at them, the stormtrooper realizes, you know, in the beginning he was just like, how could this nice girl be so like mixed up in all this? And then she shoots his friend and she's like, and he's like, oh my god, Princess Leia is a murderer. She just killed my friend. And so he stuns her, and when Leia wakes up, he realizes that he saw like sympathy in her because he could see her face and stuff like that. But when she looked at him, all she saw was a black and white mask and they all looked the same. So as they were leading Leia away, he takes off his mask so she can see there's a human underneath there.
Ooh,
it was really powerful.
That's a good story, yeah.
And then the other one was about Jotha Jawa. I never thought I would give a fucking damn about a Jawa. But oh man, a Jawa almost wrecked and saved the Star Wars original trilogy. Because you know the scene after C-3PO and R2 get picked up by the Jawas and they're being cleaned up and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
There's a little Jawa working on R2-D2 in that scene. That's Jot the Jawa. And so this little Jawa is actually small for Jawas. He gets bullied by the others and because he's super small and no one really likes him. And he finds in their, like, sand car, whatever it's called,
Sandcrawler?
Yeah, and he finds a design flaw where there's an open panel, and because he's so small, he's just big enough to fit in there, and he finds this, like, tiny side room that nobody else can fit in, and that becomes his little cubby hole. And so he stores his stuff in there, and he'd been, like, over the years had found, like, different memory cubes and stuff like that from various droids, and then one time when they were out, he finds a droid in the sand, and he sees that it has a projector attached to it, so he takes it back to his cubby hole, and he starts attaching these memory cubes, and he sees, like, space for the first time. He sees trees for the first time, and he's just enamored with the rest of the galaxy. And he starts having this urge to leave. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, then when they get R2, his job is to clean up R2's memory and then erase his memory so they can resell R2. So he sneaks R2's memory away, and he plays it. And he can't, like, he sees, like, for example, Princess Leia's message, but he can't understand it, but he can tell that it's an urgent message, like, just from her tone and stuff. And then he sees the Death Star. And he has this fear that comes over him of, like, oh, man, like, that's, that thing's massive. And he looks at the timestamp and goes, that was 2 days ago. That thing is still up there. And he realizes that he has a choice, that he could either erase the droid's memory so they can sell it, but he chooses to keep the message and puts it back in R2 and lets him go. And I was just like, this fucking Jawa just saved Star Wars.
Yep. Well, he could have messed up Star Wars. How? By messing up R2.
Yeah.
Just like we always say.
It was so good. Like, we had a story from a Tusken Raider's point of view, and, like, apparently Tusken Raider women are, like, not made for combat, but she's, like, a really good fighter, but she knows, like, she's running away and, like, never going home and stuff. And there's another story from the point of view of the little red droid that Uncle Owen buys first, and, like, R2 is just like, I need to be bought. And he's like, no, I've been here for years. It's my turn, damn it. So it's so good.
Then his motivator blows up.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good so far. I'm like 5 or 6 stories into it, but I'm really enjoying it so far. Guys, go buy From a Certain Point of View. It's really good.
It sounds like one that I would be more likely to read because it's like a whole bunch of short stories. So that's,
and it's all canon. That's the fun thing. But, yeah, it's A New Hope from the point of view of the background characters.
Yeah, so I don't like someone's writing style, I'll be done with that story in, like, 5 minutes and on to the next one, you know, so.
Though I was flipping ahead because Charles Soule is one of the writers, and Charles Soule is a comic book writer. He's actually the current writer on the Vader comics, but he also does a comic where called Curse Words, which is one of my favorite books running right now. And he's a fun, kooky writer. He's kind of a kooky writer that's really a niche of his. He has the Lando story, and Lando's very first words was, well, if I had to say, Alderaan had it coming to them. They were all Jesus. High and mighty. And I was like, oh, Lando, I can't wait to read the rest of this. Okay, let's go back to the beginning now.
Wait to see where this is going. Yeah.
Yeah. So... that's what's been going on with me. I got a porg and I'm reading a book.
Excellent. Yay.
Did anything fun and exciting happen to you?
I haven't gotten any new Star Wars stuff. I haven't been garage sailing in the last few weeks. It's pretty much over here. It's starting to get cold. And.
Well, you'll have something in a few days.
I
know.
In your shirt. I know. I can't wait.
Yeah. You'll have to tell me what you think. I'm so jealous I haven't been able to buy mine yet. Just because... I had to take care of adult stuff.
You got your porg.
I did, but it was free. It was a free porg. I would have never bought it if it wasn't... I would have never gotten him if he wasn't going to be a free porg. So.
Free the porgs, man.
free the porgs from Chewie eating them.
Yeah, who knows? They might be Chewie's favorite snack. That's why he brings one onto the Falcon with him.
Yeah.
For later, you know?
So, I do like that part in the trailer, though, when it was just like, rah, rah, and I'm like, I love you. Well, you ready to get started on the episode?
I'm ready.
Did you like it?
I did.
That sounded hesitant, though.
I don't think I like this one as much as the other ones. We'll get into it as it goes on. But I did like it.
I like this episode, but I have one big flaw with it. But it has to do with last week's episode of why I didn't like this. Yeah, I feel you. All right, let's get started.
All right.
The Box is the 83rd episode of Star Wars: The Clone Wars, and it aired on February 3rd, 2012. It was written by Brent Friedman and directed by Brian Callen O'Connell. Some extra information for you. The concept of the box was inspired by the 1997 film The Cube. The bounty hunter Kira Swan was a reference to Pirates of the Caribbean, another series film owned by Walt Disney Pictures, which the character Elizabeth Swan is portrayed by Keira Knightley. Her accolade is the two-time winner of the Obsidian Sphere. And this is a championship, but the name Obsidian Sphere actually derives from the Black Pearl, Jack Sparrow's pirate ship. Duran's design stems back to a piece of artwork done by Rob Cobb. Duran was the gas one that with the tentacles that floated, by the way. By Rob Cobb of an odd and colorful cantina alien for episode 4 that was never created. The original piece describes the alien as a tropical ambulatory plant, while the final alien is more of a sentient gas bag.
Yeah, it's funny. That sounds like a description of me.
Oh, man. A cut storyline in this episode would have had Anakin searching for the real Racco Hardeen once he discovered Obi-Wan was alive. The Council still tries to deny Hardeen's existence, but when Anakin intercepts Rex transferring Hardeen off-world, they would have no choice but to divulge the truth. This thread was cut for time, clarity, and character focus. It also seems very unlikely that Rex would keep something like that from Anakin. And finally, water, not gas, was supposed to fill the chamber in the first challenge. Dave Filoni explained, at the point when we wrote this story, it was around the same time as the episode ARC Troopers, and we had not yet figured out how to animate water. Thus, the water idea was dropped in favor of gas. Even though the team would eventually solve the problem of water, the constraints FX budget for the box necessitated sticking with gas in the end. You know who also sticks with gas in the end? I did not plan that, but it worked so well.
Silent but deadly.
Oh, yeah. Yoda, maker of queefs.
This food you have, does not settle well with Yoda. How you get so big and strong when farting all the time? Squeakers.
You better catch that mouth on that motorcycle.
Oh.
That's what we always say, you know.
My dad always used to say, look, there's a deer snorting in the woods. We lived in the woods too, so it was semi-plausible.
Yeah, we either blame our pug or say, you better go catch that mouse on that motorcycle. Just beep beep beep. All right, what's the platitude this week? No, I'm not sure how I feel about this one.
Ooh, this one's,
the strong survive, the noble overcome. In bed!
Wow. That picture, that brings up really gross pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. I get what to say about the episode, too, but at the same time, it's still not the best.
As far as the episode, goes, it's really just sort of like, you could twist it into place to make some sort of sense and find, you know, I mean, it's just almost like a random thing, but I mean, it has the word strong and noble in it, so you can it'll be very easy to find in almost any storyline in Clone Wars where you could be like, oh, somebody's being strong or somebody's being noble. So I guess it works, but it's not particularly, like, incisive to what's going on in the story.
Yeah.
Which means it's pretty much your standard space platitude.
And the noble don't always ever come either.
That's why we gotta sexy up these things, because otherwise they would just be plain, you know, head smackers.
Yeah, and
most
of
the time.
The noble don't always overcome in bed either. Sometimes it's, you know, not noble. Sometimes you just, you know,
overcome.
You gotta
come.
Yeah, and sometimes you just gotta get a quickie and get in and out and just be like, okay, I'm done.
Hmm. Like, Yoda's talking like half a gallon.
Yoda.
Yeah.
When all that spells, feels, throwing a fart noise. Inside.
Yeah, I don't think you're catching what Yoda's pitching, but that speaks well
jizz.
Of you, Hope. Yeah.
I know what he's talking about, jizz.
Okay.
I was just not acknowledging the jizz.
Okay, good. It's good not to acknowledge the jizz.
Yeah, maybe it's
that's one of the first things my pappy taught me on his knee. Anyway.
I liked that better. I was going to talk about squishy jizz farts, but that was better.
No. Okay.
It's extra funny because, listeners, we just finished talking with Aaron for the 100th episode. He was like, I learned more about sex ed with you guys than I did in sex ed class. And now we're talking about jizz farts.
I don't know if this is exactly ed, but yeah. I guess it's educational, but it's informative,
right.
I guess.
Well, act-wise, we should just move on. Act 1.
Act 1.
Ooh, okay, here we go.
Deep breath, everybody.
Okay, I'm good. Alright, act 1. To catch you up, Obi-Wan pulled a face.
Yeah. Oh no, we ruined it for the whole for everything. Now everything that you've written, now you have to be like, what else did I write?
It doesn't help that I wrote this like last night, and I usually do these the day of. So, like, I'm like, I don't remember what I wrote. Mm-hmm. Let's find out.
Now you see the traps you set for yourself.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of errands to run today. And I got a haircut today, too, and it looks good. All right. Obi-Wan pulled a face off and literally changed his face and voice to go undercover as bounty hunter Rocco Hardeen. He's trying to stop a plot to kill or kidnap Palpatine. They've said both in the episodes. It's kind of unclear. Morale Evol is the dude behind it. Obi-Wan helped aid Cad Bane to break Evol out of prison to find out what's up with this plot. Oh, and Anakin thinks Obi-Wan is dead. The Jedi Council has been lying to Anakin, leading him on a revenge trip to kill Hardeen. Anakin has figured out that Obi-Wan is alive, but he's not sure how. And now Bane, Obi-Wan, and Evol are on their way to the planet of Sereno. On to this week! So Bane, Evol, and Hardeen Kenobi arrive on Sereno at Count Dooku's place. Evol apologizes for being late, and Dooku is like, you being late could have messed up all of my plans. Hold up, is that Cad Bane? I'm such a big fan of his work! Hey, Bane! Hi! Do you see me? I'm right here. I'm Count Dooku. You've worked for me before. Wait, who's this other chum? And Evol says that Hardeen has been super useful and wants him to compete in the tournament. And Bane is like, you bitches owe me money. Give it over and I'm out. And Dooku is like, I have something better than money. More money. You have to survive a little game and then you can have so much more money. And Dooku tells Evol to prepare the tournament. Meanwhile, back on Coruscant, Anakin comes into Yoda's room and finally, Yoda tells Anakin the truth. He confirms Anakin's thoughts that Obi-Wan is still alive. But Yoda calls Anakin right out saying, do you want to read this bit?
Loose cannon you are. A dick you can be. Fear you give us. On the bench this time you will sit. trust in Obi-Wan, you will.
And Anakin is like, I can help. I'm good at helping if people need to die. And Yoda says that they pretty much can't help Obi-Wan now. Back on Sereno, there's a group of bounty hunters gathered. Cardine is asking questions, but Cad Bane is like, shut up. That guy's hat. It's marvelous. And he shoots the guy dead and puts on a bigger, more ridiculous hat compared to his previous one.
I thought that was actually his hat, and the guy had gotten it somehow, because he's like, where'd you get that hat? You know, so I think, I thought, like, somehow the guy had, he found his original hat, and it's just like, yeah.
I actually have a note that I feel like Cad Bane is a hat hoarder, so he's probably just like, sweet Jesus, that hat, I like it, it's mine now, thanks. That's how I took it. But maybe it was his old hat, who knows? Dooku strolls up going, hey, welcome to my crib. So I hear y'all are the best bounty hunters in the galaxy. It's time to prove it in the Bounty Hunter Olympics. Your team bad guy. And then he introduces them all. There's Keira Knightley, floating tentacle porn, Mr. Face Tattoo clone wannabe, my lover, Imbo with the really cool hat, and can I add that I've just really missed Imbo? My fave bae, Cad Bane, Cardine Kenobi, not Greedo, Hammerhead Dude 1, Hammerhead Dude 2, who just got shot by Cad Bane, so sorry for that. Lady Snake Eyes Lizard Thighs, which is my favorite of my nicknames.
That is a really good one. That's almost as good as, what was it?
Goat Eyes Mitten Hands?
Yes, Cat Eyes Mitten Hands.
Something like that, yeah. Mr. Piggy Oink Oink, and finally, Fish Face McGee. Dooku introduces them to the box, apparently a death maze that Dooku just has laying around for those boring days, and he only needs 5 of them. Everybody else will die. Whoever succeeds will get a chance of a lifetime to turn the tide of the Clone Wars. The bounty hunters hand over their weapons and enter the box. Dun dun dun! What'd you think of Act 1?
I liked it. I'm wondering, when we get to the original, the animated Tarkovsky Clone Wars, mm-hmm. and it has what's her name? Why am I blanking on her name?
Jedi or Sith?
Sith, blue.
Blue
lady.
Ventress.
They have an episode where he recruits Ventress and has her fighting in something very similar to the box. So I'm wondering if that was maybe supposed to be, maybe this box was, you know, brought from that. It was a very similar, you know, he had a sort of like, what do you call it? The danger room, you know, from the X-Men sort of thing. So I wonder if they're very similar. They reminded me anyway of each other.
Yeah.
Good to see Imbo again.
I miss Imbo.
Just like, hey, it's Imbo. I remember him being great.
Yeah, and he still is great.
I am not buying, and if he is picking up on Kenobi, he's playing his cards real close, but I don't see how Dooku could not know something's up with Obi-Wan Kenobi, because
I had that note in Act 2.
Because not only did they bring up Obi-Wan Kenobi's name and automatically bring that into Dooku's mind, but there's Obi-Wan sitting in front of him. He's a Jedi. He and Dooku have history from Episode 2, and in Episode 2 it seemed like they'd known each other when Dooku was still a Jedi. So it's like, you would think he would pick up something was up with that guy, you know? And if he did think it was Obi-Wan Kenobi, he would probably be more likely to be like, that's Obi-Wan Kenobi, but rather than be like, hey, let's just see how this turns, you know, let's let this develop and see what's going on. So I don't know. I wasn't really buying that. The box looks like basically the Borg, this is a Star Trek reference, Borg version of the Death Star.
Huh.
And I like my only other note is I really like the one scene. It's just a little touch, but where they're climbing up something, and you know, Obi-Wan goes to give Cad Bane a hand up, and Cad Bane just sort of, you know, offhandedly slaps his hand away. And it's just a real quick little shot, but it's great. If it was one of those things where, like, real actors were doing it, I would have been like, oh, that was nice what they just did. We got to make sure to get that in there. But, of course, in this, it's something they thought up and just put in, but they didn't project it, you know. It's just a little touch as if real actors had did it. I love when they do that.
Yeah, I had a note about Dooku and Obi-Wan in Act 2. It was also a bit of a question, so I'm going to save it for that.
Okay.
My notes are... In the open narrating, usually I have, like, no notes about the open narration, but the narrator says that Obi-Wan has gained the trust of Cad Bane. No, he didn't! Cad Bane hated him since the moment he met Hardeen Kenobi.
By the end of it, I think Cad Bane's starting to be like, okay, this guy's okay. They have a couple moments of, you know, nod.
Yeah.
Man-to-man nods and stuff.
This is referencing the last two episodes, though. It's a recap of the last two episodes, and I'm just like, Cad Bane does not like this guy, does not trust this guy, wants to throw this guy out of an airlock.
Yeah, no, by the time Cad Bane's grudgingly starting to accept him, it's like three quarters of the way through this episode. Up until that point, he's just like, no, my spidey sense says don't trust him, don't like him, don't want anything to do with him, and that's that, you know?
Yeah. So one thing I like is when they land on Sereno, there's a very fun little power shift that happens the moment that Dooku shows up, because the last two episodes, everything was about Aval. You know, they had to save Aval. He was important. They had to, like, get him out of prison. Aval was the man. And then Dooku shows up and Bane and Hardeen are, like, shoulder bumping Aval, and then he's being talked down to by Dooku. So it's a cool little power shift that's be like, nah, Aval was always a stooge. He does not have any power. When the last two episodes, like, he was the guy.
His only power that he had before was kind of as a proxy for Dooku. Dooku wanted him broken out and gotten back, so that's why they were listening to him and giving him respect. But otherwise, they both knew he was kind of a weasel.
Yeah, so I thought that was a little cool moment.
Yeah.
God, about time they told Anakin. Jesus Christ.
And I like the combination of emotions that goes over Anakin in that. It's an animated show, 3D animation, and there's more, you know, emotional depth to the characters.
Yeah.
Than the movies. You know?
I also found it kind of interesting that, like, I think this is the first time that Yoda's addressed with Anakin of, hey, you're a loose cannon. You know, we couldn't trust you with this. And I think that's the first time he's really, like, voiced that to Anakin, that anyone's voiced that.
And you notice that Anakin probably would have had words about that. Or at least a eye roll or reaction to that, but not with Yoda. With Yoda, he took it seriously. You know, coming from Yoda, he was just like, yeah. I know.
And then the other thing that I already said, I think Cad Bane is secretly a hat hoarder. So I just like to imagine him just, like, rolling in a pile of hats going, yeah!
I have all the hats.
Oh, the hats. That fedora. Give me the fedora. And my final note was just something I thought was really interesting. As they were introducing all the bounty hunters, we found out that Rocco Hardeen is from Concord Dawn. This was the first time that Concord Dawn was mentioned in the canon outside of the EU. And the reason that Concord Dawn is very important, it's a Mandalorian planet, and it suggests that Hardeen is a Mandalorian. But the thing that caught my eye is there's a character in Rebels named Finn Rao. He was the Mandalorian that ended up teaming up with the Rebels and is now helping Sabine and stuff like that. That's his area. He's the one that's in charge of that area in Rebels. So I thought that was kind of cool because this is, like, pre-Rebels time, and it's a nice little tie that, like, probably around the time that Hardeen was running around, Rao was probably a child, and stuff. So I just thought that was cool because Concordor and Don was just like, oh, cool, he's Mandalorian. Fun. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense with his choice of headgear and...
Yeah. And the sniper rifle and how he fights and stuff. So I just thought that was a cool thing. I was just like, oh, cool. That makes sense. So... But that's all I have for Act 1.
All right. I'm ready for Act 2.
I'm taking a drink of water because I know I wrote a lot for Act 2. All right. So what I did between Act 2 and 3, because there's no real fun breaks to it, I split it up in between two of the... I think I did two tests and then the last two tests between Act 2 and 3.
Yeah, I'm just gonna take my notes by what you write, because the show is almost over and I'm like, wait, look down at it, and I'm like, oh, this is almost over. I've missed wherever Act 2 turned into Act 3 in here. There's no obvious cut, so I just like sort of drew a random line halfway through my notes.
I pretty much
this whole
the dun-dun-dun moment. I was like, oh.
That's how this whole season's been. It's about 50-50 on, like, having a dun-dun-dun moment and having just nothing.
Yeah. All right, Act 2.
Act 2.
So, the bounty hunters come out in a white room. Evol's face shows up on a TV screen telling them there is only one rule. There are no rules, so big surprise there. The floor opens up, pouring in poison gas. Tiles lift from the floor. It's every man for themselves as they try and get higher than the gas. It doesn't seem hard until the tiles start trying to squash them into the ceiling, and then the ceiling starts coming down on them. Hardeen Kenobi's that the way out is down, not up. He uses his helmet to protect him as he scouts a way out. He finds a hole in the floor leading to a tunnel. Everyone follows him out. They have all survived the first wave of the box. Moral Eval talks in third person, as Moral Eval is impressed that no one is dead. Time for round two. The walls suddenly fly out of the blocks with laser swords at the end. Man, if there was only a better word for laser swords in this Star Wars universe. Light cleavers? Luminous sabers? I don't know. Anyway, the box kills Hammerhead Dude 1, so he rejoins his brother in death. The walls don't seem to be random either. Dooku watches Hardeen like, there's something weird about that guy. It's like the feeling is forcing itself in my mind. And Evol says that our Hardeen killed Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Dooku is like, oh, things are making way more sense now. And things aren't going great for our bounty hunters. The walls are starting to come in, and again with the big glowing knives, or try to stab them. And Kenobi realizes there's a pattern and tells Bane to follow him up and to time his jumps. Obi-Wan leads the way, and Bane and the other bounty hunters start to follow. Bane almost falls, but Hardeen Kenobi helps him up. Obi-Wan and Bane make it through the escape shaft. Also, snake eyes, lizard thighs is super impressive, parkouring around the walls. And Dooku is like, oh wow, look at Hardeen. He's so amazing. It's not like he's a Jedi or something. Wow. He should lead the operation. And Evol is ready to crank up the next challenge to take Hardeen out of the picture. What do you think about 2?
It's okay. I mean...
Act 3 is the one that I wrote a lot for. I forgot about that. Anyway.
One of my notes is lots of potentially gruesome... I like the potentially gruesome death of the fake little automatic lightsaber, light baton type things. Because I like that there's a close-up as, I can't remember which character, I think it was Obi-Wan or Hardeen, and where, you know, one of them pops up in front of him and he sees it poke out, and it pokes out, but then it does a nice little, like, slice, 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 slice. So it's like you're not just going to get stabbed with it. It's going to, like, cut you in 50, you know, core out your whole body cavity. So that was pretty neat.
There was one death that I liked from that was Cad Bane, after Obi-Wan is like, follow me up, and Cad Bane is looking around, behind him, another bounty hunter is about to jump him, and she just gets impaled by the wall and just, like, thrown to the side, and nothing happens. He just stands there and just keeps looking around, not knowing that this person just died behind him. And I just liked that moment, too, because you just hear her go, ah! And she just gets thrown off to the side and dies.
I think Obi-Wan... I'm wondering why Obi-Wan's so good. He should be, like, letting Cad Bane shine a little bit, you know, maybe, or something, but it's almost like he's calling attention to himself by, like, I'm gonna, you know... I don't know what the... You know, but this has all got to resolve, so it might be part of the plan, but I thought the plan would have been to have him more as in the background as possible, but... It seems like he's trying to make an impression, which I could see as part of the plan, but at the same time, I really wouldn't want to draw attention to myself as a incognito Jedi to a Sith that actually knows me, you know? So it just seems a little weird that he's being so Jedi-like without actually using his Jedi powers. And I know they didn't come out with a lot. I know they came out with some Clone Wars video games and stuff, but man, this the whole thing with the box is like right out of it's like a video game.
That's one of my notes, and I named a specific game that it reminds me of.
Oh yeah, which one?
Have you ever played Portal?
I've seen people playing it. I've never played it myself.
The entire box with like the white walls and like the different panels and the stuff moving around just reminds me of the Aperture Science building. Like, all it's missing is GLaDOS making death puns. But, like, it's very much the similar. Like, everything's white walls, and it has panels that come in and out and move around, and you have to, like, portal from place to place and place to solve these puzzles. And it's a puzzle game. And that's essentially what they're doing here. They're solving puzzles.
Right.
And it reminds me so much of Portal. Like, I thought about requesting for the opening music of the song being Still Alive from the Portal closing theme. This was a triumph. But yeah, I mean, it reminds me so much of Portal. Like, it looks like Aperture Science. It feels like Aperture Science. It just, all we need is GLaDOS there to be like taunting them, but we have Evol there talking in third person, and he is nowhere as cool as GLaDOS. Or Wheatley, for that matter. Wheatley was pretty fun. And this is the part where I kill you. Chapter 3. This is the part where he kills you. And there's no cake. We can't have Portal without cake, because the cake is a lie. Or is the cake a pie? Ooh. Anyway, I love that game. I love Portal. I absolutely love that game. It's one of my favorites.
But that's all the notes I had.
Okay. So I was thinking about Act 3. Or Act 2, and it got me thinking about last week's episode. And so, you remember how last week I was saying that if they had told Anakin in Episode 1 of this arc that Obi-Wan was undercover, you could have cut all of Episode 2 last week, like you could have taken out the entire episode?
Mm-hmm.
That is, because I remembered, because I had only seen this arc once before this, so, and I as I was watching last week's episode, I was like, there is a reason why I did not like this episode as much as I remember. And then I got to this episode and I was like, I remember now, because you could have made the box a two-parter and had way more of this and have them like really going through these challenges, because 22 minutes is not a lot to fit in what everything that they're doing. And so, like, for example, the first challenge took what, like maybe a minute and a half, maybe. And it didn't feel like a challenge. It felt easy. You know, all Obi-Wan had to do was look down and go, hey, there's a hole in the floor. Jump. But
it's like a video. That's what I'm saying. It's like a video game. It starts out. That's a tutorial round.
Yeah. And I'll go more into it in Act 3, because then we'll have the entire episode to look at it. But that was my problem. I remembered now why I had such a big problem.
I'm
going
to have stuff to say about that in Act 3, too.
Yeah, like, that was a big problem I had with last week's episode, is we could have had two episodes of the box, and that would have been awesome. So, to go back to what you were saying in Act 1, I feel you on the Dooku thing, because for one, does Jedi have ways of suppressing their force powers so other people can't sense them?
Because I know that Yoda said something about, you know, they were having trouble finding the Sith because the Sith were clouding the force. But that seems like more of a general sort of thing rather than like in the same room, Jedi and Sith in the same room together.
They said something about that in episode one of this arc but even then Obi-Wan was like, yeah, I took a thing to suppress my vitals, so Anakin thought I was dead. Well, then he wasn't dead in the Force, though. Anakin just thought his heart wasn't running. So, like, I feel you. Dooku, like, the moment that Obi-Wan, like, walked in the door, he should have been like, that's a Jedi.
What's up with you? Yeah. Or at least been strongly suspicious as what this guy's got a lot of Force going on in him, you know?
Dooku's not the best Sith Lord. I get that. But even then, he's still a fucking Sith Lord.
He seemed to have gotten a good amount of... it just seemed that people... He seemed to have maybe attained a degree of respect within the Jedi. So, yeah, he's not... He's a stooge, but he's not completely stupid. He knows his force. I mean, he can fight and he can shoot blue lightning. You'd think he'd be able to sense somebody who is oozing force, oozing midichlorians.
Yeah, and they do have a past. I mean, mm-hmm. Qui-Gon Jinn was Dooku's apprentice. The reason Dooku left is because Qui-Gon Jinn was killed in episode one. That's why he left. So he would have known of Obi-Wan because Obi-Wan was Qui-Gon's apprentice.
Yeah.
And that was his Padawan. So, I mean, like, Dooku knows Obi-Wan. He knows who he is, what he feels like, and they have that tie through Qui-Gon. And so, like, I feel you on that. I just feel like the moment that Obi-Wan walked in the door, that Dooku was just like, huh, what's wrong with you? I just feel like it would have happened way sooner. And then just a random question that I was wondering, do people have like Force signatures? Like each person feels different in the Force, I wonder? Like, you know, they have
I think it would almost be like the way like psychic people talk about auras or something, or fingerprints, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the evidence points to that from episode four, where Darth Vader was like, you know, I sense a presence I haven't felt since ... So, you know, he wasn't just picking up on a Jedi, he was picking up on Obi-Wan being around.
Yeah, so I mean, that was just, I don't know how I feel about that. And then my last note that I had was, it was about the moment where Obi-Wan saves Bane. And I was thinking about that. It's kind of like your note about him, you know, helping him and stuff like that. But we do know that Obi-Wan has a bit of a past with Bane, right? And I think that Obi-Wan respects Cad Bane a lot. Because, you know, like, he's taken on other Jedi and stuff. Like, he might not like Bane, but I think he fully respects him. Like, this guy's dangerous, he knows what he's doing, you know, and stuff like that. So, I think that's why the Jedi code, it's Obi-Wan's code to save people and not kill them. So I think that's one reason why he's helping out all the other bounty hunters. But also, he respects Bane, and that's why he's helping him, despite him being a dangerous bounty hunter. Either that, or he knows that Bane is smart and is maybe in control of a lot of this, and Bane is also a key to get out of this place. I think he knows if he has Bane on his side, work together, they're going to survive.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it might end up being him and Bane versus everybody else by the end of it. Because Bane is a mercenary, so Bane is like... Bane might work for Dooku. He's not going to have any real loyalty to him. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, he's a good Jedi, so he wants to help.
So, that's how I feel. But I think that's the turning point for Bane, too, because Bane spent two episodes hating Hardeen. But I think that's the moment where he goes, okay, this guy's not, you know, at least he's not going to let me die.
Yeah.
He knows we're all in there. Yeah, because, I mean, while there are no rules in the box, I think at the same time, you know, whoever can end up on top is going to get out. And I think he's like, okay, well, let's form. I think that's a secret alliance they just made. They were just like, okay, we're going to work together. So, and yeah, that's all I had for Act 2.
All right, you want to finish this box up?
Yeah, though I got distracted in the middle of my notes because I Twitter. So that's why I paused for a very long time because I was reading Twitter.
Finish up this unboxing.
Anyway. This unboxing. It's like those unboxing videos that you see online and stuff. So, all right. Act 3. We enter the next room of the box. There are only 7 bounty hunters left. You've all pretty much put them in a horror movie setting, like Saw or something. They have shields to escape to I lost my spot. They have to pass through Ray shields to their escape. What? To the escape button on the other side. That's what I meant to write. he gives them a serum that will allow them to pass through the Ray shields. It's toxic to all of them except one. They have to figure out who will who won't die from the juice. The middle of the floor rises, and they all hop up, except for not Grudo, who gets fried on the floor. Gassy Tentacle Porn should be able to handle the serum. The walls are coming in. They're quickly losing floor space. A couple guys get killed. And Tentacle Porn makes it through, and he opens a tunnel out of there. And Dooku is not impressed with Evol's box, and again suggests putting Obi-Wan, I mean Hardeen, in charge of the mission. Evol does not like this at all. He can feel his power slipping away. He has one last chance to win over Count Dooku. The last test has the bounty hunter surrounded by fire, and they get a blaster to test their sniper skills. Clone wannabe my lover goes first. He hits the first two marks, but misses the last one, dropping him into the flames. Every miss will make their platform smaller. Obi-Wan is up. He hits the targets. Suddenly, Evol lifts the other 4 bounty hunters, separating him from the others. Evol says that he's tired of Hardeen saving everyone. He needs to hit 5 marks 5 more times. Obi-Wan hits 4 targets, but his rifle runs out of bolts. Evol drops the floor out from under Obi-Wan, but fucking Cad Bane shoots out a cable and saves him. And he looks at Evol in the eye and goes, "Kill him like a man, you third-person talking jerk." And Dooku agrees, taking over the box. Evol gets forced out onto the floor, and it's Evol versus Obi-Wan. Evol sends out some droids, but Obi-Wan takes care of them. A few more traps, and Obi-Wan destroys Evol's wrist tech, which controls the box, making the floor go haywire a few moments. Evol finally gets his hands dirty, going hand-to-hand combat with Hardeen Kenobi. Obi-Wan bests Evol. Dooku urges Hardeen to kill Evol. Obi-Wan, again, is forced to face his Jedi code of not killing while undercover. He chooses not to, saying that he'd rather do the job and get his money. Dooku congratulates Cad Bane, Hardeen, Tentacle Born, Chicken Eyes, Lizard Thighs, and Imbo for surviving the box, and Vol is still there, too. Tomorrow they will kidnap Chancellor Palpatine at the Festival of Naboo. If the Republic won't return Separatist prisoners for Palpatine, they'll execute the Chancellor. Evol will tell them the plan, but Dooku throws out a twist. Cad Bane will run the actual mission. They all work for him now. Because Dooku is secretly a Cad Bane fanboy? Me too, Dooku. Me too. The end.
Well, also because Obi-Wan wouldn't kill... Embo? Evol.
Yeah.
So if he would have just been like, sure, fine, then Dooku would have been like, hey, you're heading the team, you know, but he wants someone ruthless. He's like, okay, this guy's got that one weakness, so I'm going with Cad Bane. Plus he does love his Cad Bane.
Yeah.
I also think Obi-Wan does some bad acting.
Here's the thing, I have a follow-up note to you, that note of yours. I think it was Dooku's plan the entire time to put Cad Bane in charge. I think he really wanted to make sure that Bane was up for it, but I think Cad Bane was always going to be the first choice because Dooku's worked with Bane before. He knows what he can do, and I think, like, he just wanted to test him, just be like, okay, he's still up for this. Let's do this.
Yeah,
I have a few, like, I kind of get the sneaking suspicion that, like, he always had plans for Bane to be in charge the entire time because the way Bane steps out when he's like, Bane's in charge, and Bane just like walks out like, yeah, I know. I think he was always in on the plan and was just playing the rest of them the entire time.
That could be too. I think Obi-Wan kind of mess when they give Tentacle Porn the serum and Cad Bane's like, how did you know? And he's like, oh, I've killed a few of them in the past, so that's how I know they can take that serum. No, that wouldn't make any sense. You know, you put a bullet in someone's head, that doesn't mean you know their biology. You know, that was just a dumb answer. I would have said something like, I didn't know. He's just the most goofy looking of all of us here, so I figured he would have the weirdest blood, you know. Something like that, you know, that a actual bounty hunter would say. And look, we won. Nobody else was about to take it, right? So we might as well have tried it on somebody, and we lucked out because he's... I mean, look at the guy. He's floating around, and he's a bag of gas. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously the choice. I mean...
Yeah.
He's a gross, like...
Yeah.
Sorry, throwback. To Blue Waffle Virus. But yeah, I mean, he's obviously the choice. He's the one that's made of gross gas and stuff. I mean, nobody else looks like they could totally take that and be fine. What if he had died in an earlier task, though, when they got to
Yeah, right. Well, so much for the whole thing. Yeah. Well, he probably had different things set up depending on who, you know, who made it to who. He probably would have just sent him to a different section or put in a different routine or something. I like the giant Dooku on camera just watch, you know, lording over them, you know, seeing who was going to win. That was very much like from the Tarkovsky cartoon, too. But
very 1984 in a way, too.
Yes. But in the end... The box is kind of boring to me, as it does exist as a thing to further the story and the relationship with Obi-Wan and Cad Bane and all those dynamics. It's just all variations on the blank room with cubes sticking out, you know, and some different, you know, it's very just sort of cut and paste video game. I wish they would have made it maybe more holodeck-like, so where they were like, oh, I'm on a weird planet or something, or something. It was just visually, like, okay, but not very inventive, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if that was, like, an effects budget that they had a problem with. Like, they could only put so much into it.
Yeah, that would definitely be an easier route to go. So, yeah, but that's all the notes I had for the third part, really.
For me, my first note, remember a couple seasons ago when we did the episode Bounty Hunters, and it was like where they were protecting the village, and there was the Bounty Hunters versus the Pirates, and I talked a lot about the Bounty Hunter Sugi versus Hondo, and how Bounty Hunters seem to have way more honor compared to the Pirates, so it kind of felt like a nice callback here, seeing Bane save Obi-Wan's life,
yep.
because he had saved Bane in the previous challenge. And so it was Cad Bane paying him back and seeing Bane just being like, hey, no, kill him like a man, you ass. So I thought that was a fun little kind of callback to that. Like, bounty hunters do have honor among them, even though they're being pitted against each other in this.
I agree.
And another thing I really liked is I liked it that we got to see Evol fight hand-to-hand. For a little bit of that final fight to show that he's just not some dude with tricks. Like, he can actually get dirty if needed to and fight if he needs to.
Yeah.
Because he did pretty good till Obi-Wan bested him. But I liked that. They could have made him like some sniveling guy with like all these tricks and he's useless without his buttons and stuff. But no, the moment that Obi-Wan breaks his wrist, he was like, okay, I'm going to punch you in the face now. And I was like, okay. I was really glad that we got to see that side of Evol. I think that really helped him a lot. I like the fire effect.
Yeah, it looked very realistic.
Yeah. I had a moment where I was like looking at it and I was just like, this is a really good fire effect. All right, so to go back to my note from Act 2 about how I wish this was a two-parter, And the reason why, I think this would have been a lot more effective. Imagine if we got to know these bounty hunters more. You know, like if the box was like a 2-day event. So they start off in the first episode and we got to know like a little bit of their backstories, of like who they are and what, like why they do the things that they do. And in their downtime between day one and day two, then they can start making alliances. You know, like Bane comes to Obi-Wan, he's like, you know, you've really had my back. Let's team up. Meanwhile, there are other bounty hunters over there like, okay, they're the ones to beat. Let's team up and take them out because there are no rules. And then you have backstabbings. And then you could have really focused on the relationship between Obi-Wan and Bane, which makes it even bigger. Because you know at some point, Bane's going to find out that that's Obi-Wan Kenobi. And right. He's going to be pissed. And so I think that's why I have such a problem with last week's episode and this week's episode. I think if you would have completely cut last week's episode, made the box a two-parter, to where you could have really focused on the bounty hunters and the alliances between them and them backstabbing each other, that would have been a really stellar two episodes.
Yeah, I agree. My only addendum I would make to that is they would have to do something about the box to make it more interesting. If we're going to have two episodes with the box, it would either have to be the box and then maybe some other thing that goes on outdoors or something, or in space or something interesting, but I wouldn't want a two episode set in the box in variations of different kinds of danger on a grid of squares.
Yeah, I mean there also could have been like a thing where like if it was a 2-day event and so they got the night to relax and like regroup and stuff, Obi-Wan could have been, like, trying to sneak around, but Bane could have been like, hey, where are you going? And he's like, nowhere. I'm not trying to find out what the plot is. Not right, at all. Right. I would have really... What's missing here is, like, who are these bounty hunters? Why are they doing that? What they, you know, how did they get to this point? Like, who are they as people? Like, because we know Imbo, Cad Bane, and we know that that's Obi-Wan. We know those three. Everybody else, I don't give a shit about. But, like, I feel like if we would have had a little bit more time just to be like, okay, these two are plotting together. Or right. Maybe, like, Snake Eyes, Lizard Thighs has a past with, I don't know, like, not Greedo or something like that. And they're like, okay, let's team up. And he's just like, yeah, I'll team up with you again. She's like, ugh, stop it. Like, something just as small as that. Like, I would have been like, okay, these two have a past together. They're more likely going to team up together. I think that would have been, like, way better with this episode, to the point of I would actually start caring it that some of them died, but as right. I would have like also I feel like that would have been made it better to kind of for so they could form alliances and then backstab each other left and right. Like if Snake Eye Lizard Thighs is like, not Greedo, what's that? Shoves them off a platform and kills them. Oops, sorry boyfriend. that's what I needed. I needed to know more about these guys and who they are, and to see like Cad Bane and Obi-Wan, you know, officially be like, yeah, let's team up to get through this at least. And then whenever Bane finds out that that's actually Obi-Wan Kenobi, he can just be like, shit, you asshole, you yeah. fucked me over this whole time. That's really what I was missing from this episode, which is my biggest problem with it. Well, I don't have anything else. What about you?
You ready to score this up?
Go for it.
Well, we've been sort of, I've liked all three of these so far in this arc, but we have been on, I've noticed on my grading scale on a 0.5 downward scale, and except this time we've dropped down a full point. So last week episode got an 8.5, we're getting a 7.5 this one, mostly because I don't think the idea of the box and what happens interpersonally with the characters through the interaction with the box is bad or boring. I just think the box itself is a drab design, and you know, and just by the sheer awesome visualness of this show, I could have used something a little more than variations of fire and gas and lightsabers coming out of cubes, you know? Mm-hmm. Why even put them in different rooms? They're all the same room, you know, with just different cubes coming out. So 7.5, which is still a good solid show. I enjoyed the show. I'm focusing on the negative things that brought it down a point from last time, but I still enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not one that it's just doesn't stand out that much to me, but it was good, solid.
Yeah, for me, I really like this episode. I feel really bad that last season I used my big Hunger Games thing, because this would have been a great time
to use it.
This
would have worked to it too, yeah.
Yeah, but it was very much like Bounty Hunter Portal beats Hunger Games a bit. And it is a fun episode. I actually really like the lightsaber challenge with the little swinging lightsabers.
The lightsaber challenge. I just see someone pouring a bucket of lightsabers out on someone's head.
Yeah, so, yes, that was definitely my favorite. I like seeing the honor come out of Cad Bane by saving Obi-Wan Kenobi's life. And also we get to see that Obi-Wan is still struggling to be a Jedi undercover in the middle of this. But I do really wish this episode was a two-parter to have more character development among the bounty hunters. Like, that was what was super needed in this episode for me. Overall, though, it's a fun little romp. It's a lot of fun to watch. I needed more. I just needed way more of it. So I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Which is following the trend of just being just below what I gave it.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to me. It's just not great. And yeah. I would have liked
to... Oh, I hear you, sister.
Yeah, I would have liked a little bit more from the bounty hunters for me to, you know, we have two other bounty hunters teamed up with Cad Bane, Obi-Wan, and Imbo. We don't know shit about the other two other than one's a gas bag and one's...
They're kind of like the red shirts in a way.
Yeah, like one has lizard thighs and snake eyes, and then there's Evol talking in third person, and I want to punch him in the face every time. And so, like, I just wanted more from them. Like, I was looking at the thing, and the voice actors, they reused a lot of the voice actors, like Matt Lantern, who is Anakin, was the voice of one of them. Ashley Eckstein, who is Ahsoka, was the voice of Keira Knightley, and I think literally all she said was, "Ugh," as she died. I would have loved to know more about these people. Like, maybe she was a weak way, maybe she used to work for Hondo, and she was just like, "Nah, not anymore." And, you know, like, I wanted to know more about these people. So that was my big thing. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on either iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because it helps when you rate and review us on iTunes, it just helps people find the show. And this week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Kidnapped.
And this one comes from Paul C. Kelly. And he says, "I am curious as to why Darth Vader did business with Boba Fett when he had a ship called Slave One."
I'm still debating if that is the Slave One, because we saw Aurra Sing crash that fucker.
Hope mentioned she will be showing art from sites like Etsy and Redbubble. Good to support artists, like she said. Another podcast.
I'm hoping, because I'm still trying to get that worked out and stuff like that.
And then there's another podcast called Traveling the Judlin Waste with Mark and Den, and they're both supporters as well.
Oh, and good for
them. They were my gateway podcast that eventually led me to be curious of other podcasts, one being J Guys, where, you know, I got the referral from. Oh, that's right. You guys were high school pals. So, okay. I'm excited about Super Metafest. That will be happening October 21st and 22nd in Marlborough, Massachusetts. I will be going on Sunday. I'm wondering if it's MetaFest or MegaFest.
I think MegaFest.
It says MephaFest.
No, I'm sorry.
Here.
I'm thinking MegaCon.
Yeah, you wrote Mepha. You wrote Mepha. I don't know if you just copied and pasted it, but it says MephaFest. Maybe it is MephaFest. I don't know. Maybe there's...
I'm on it.
Anyway, Kevin Eastman, one of the creators of the original 1984 Ninja Turtles comics, will be there. Also, Paul Blake, a.k.a. Greedo, is attending. Should be a good time. I wonder if anybody would even know, like, now, if you brought it, like, just called someone Paul Blake. Since he was in a mask the whole time. I'm officially addicted to podcasts, which is great. Yes, it is. We depend on that. I would not have attended certain cons, discovered artists, or realized certain elements of shows like Clone Wars. I may have to cut back just a little so I do not risk divorce, but Jay Guys is remaining on the list. Excellent. Right answer. Thanks for the tip to journey up. Thanks for the tip to journey up to Queens with Tyler. LOL. Maybe I just might run into you guys in person. Here's to Anakin ending slavery. Yeah, that's right. You don't live too far away from the hair metal heroes. So yeah, maybe I'm sure we're gonna have a barbecue next year. So maybe you could hitch a ride with the hero. And you know hair metal hero. So yeah.
I don't know what he's referring to because I'm getting a mega fest, but it's in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not Marlboro, Massachusetts.
Yeah. So I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, I'm gonna eat candy now.
Oh, it's that time. Oh, I didn't even start my crinkle yet.
So, Chris hates Kit Kats, and our friend Dario Gonzalez sends us candy from
Oliver. No. I don't hate Kit Kats. I hate American Kit Kats.
Where's this one from? I don't have my list in front of me.
This is from Canada, eh?
Yeah, they look like butts. Oh, it smells good.
Oh, they do look like butts when you open it up, doesn't it? Like a big, shiny, brown butt.
Mmm.
This is an Aero bar. So basically, it's just a chocolate bar, but it's one of those chocolates with the little bubbly bubbles in it. Air pockets.
I thought the inside was going to be like a Three Musketeers, that kind of chewiness. But nope. No, it's just airy chocolate on the inside.
It's just a chocolate with super bubbles, so it's very light and airy when you bite into it. It's good chocolate, too, because it's from Canada. That's how I started on the whole Kit Kat thing, is I had Kit Kats over in Canada and immediately noticed how much better and different tasting they were.
For me, it's a latte because it's a little sweet, but it's really good. It's very rich for being.
But it's one of those candy bars that's broken into sections, so you can easily go like, okay, I'll just eat this section and this section. I'll leave the other two for later.
Oh, really good. Thank you, Dario.
Melt it in your mouth.
Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That is our website. And I was just recently talking to Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene!
And we've been talking about actually figuring out ways of raising money to give the podcast a little facelift and add some features to it. So if you know anybody there who does that, might want to make a little money, send them my way. We also have a Facebook page. Or about 8 Facebook pages. We got a main Two True Freaks page. We got the Two True Freaks Cantina, which is a hangout place, and then there's a whole bunch of different Facebook pages for our individual websites, and we have a Twitter page. It's Two True Freaks at Twitter, that's run by the aforementioned podcasting machine, Gene.
Gene.
And it just keeps getting... we have to do one where we say his name like 6 times, and by the end we're like, bada bum bum ba Gene. Ba-da-ba-ba, Gene. But where can people find you, Hope?
You can find me at Jagus and Jedi. I run our Twitter accounts. And you can also find me at Hope Molinax. And I put up my first instant reaction for Star Wars Rebel today.
Yay!
It was great. It also was very lucky because I've been bemoaning how I was like, we're gonna have to rush through our podcast because Rebels is on Monday nights now. And then I realized it aired at like midnight last night and it was already recorded. So I woke up and I was just like, this is a nice surprise. Rebels! Rebels!
That means the shows won't be all 10 minutes long now as Hope rushes through notes to get to see Rebels. So,
hey, I do instant reactions to Rebels too. So for me, it's also one of those things of like, if they were Monday nights, I would have to finish this, watch the episode, which takes, they're doing two-parters now for hour segments, which I'm just like, this is nice, but also at the same time, oh my God.
Twice as much, yeah.
And then it takes me like 3 hours to do my instant reactions when they do hour-long blocks like that. So I wouldn't be finishing until like 3 in the morning. And I was like, no! But then today I was just like, it's already recorded! Yes! So I'm really excited about that. I'm also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com. I will let you know if there's any ladies out there. We are looking for contributors right now. We are looking for women who like to write about stuff that women are interested, nerdy stuff, geeky stuff, for women. For women, by women, produced by women. And so we do all sorts of things. Like, I just wrote a thing about Pokemon having a multiverse. Anika does Game of Thrones recaps. Bree and Alex do the Once Upon a Time podcast. And so we're always looking for more stuff. We've actually been talking for a long time now about doing book reviews, but we don't have anyone to do book reviews, and we don't have time between the four of us to do it. So I mean, we're looking for all sorts of for anybody.
I may have somebody that I may refer to you.
That would be awesome if you do. If you're interested. Let me make sure I have the right email. You can email my editor, Bree, wtfangirlblog@gmail.com. So we are looking for lady contributors. That would be really, really great. So, yeah, that's all I have.
Hi, my name's Christine. I want to write for your website.
Yoda.
Oh, my name is Yoda Bell. Write for your magazine, I'd like to. I'm pretty lady.
Yodine.
Yodina.
I can't make my voice any higher without sounding like a death rattle.
All right, guys, come back next week. We're gonna wrap up the box. Well, not the box, but this arc, so...
Yeah, we're gonna wrap up that box like a Christmas present.
Oh, it's gonna be Christmas soon! Yay!
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, and a happy...
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.